Well, as Jamie mentioned, the sermon today is going to be based on this window that is here to my left. And it was interesting, as I was preparing over the past week or so, there's actually 9 different scripture verses, at least, that are represented in this window. And this is a window that was actually created by somebody who used to work for Tiffany Studios. Just points of interest on this window. And I chose a scripture verse this morning because it is actually the lectionary, or part of the lectionary reading for this week. And that's why I chose John 11, verses 17 through 27. So listen for the word of God. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. I wonder whether or not each one of us have experienced something like this. Maybe variations on this exist in your own homes from time to time. As you might imagine, Sunday mornings for ministers are always a little bit busy, but never more so for me than when my kids are in town. It adds this additional level of complexity to getting to church on time, and for a person who likes to be early, that can be really important. As a single dad, it was more difficult when my kids were younger, and I had to make sure that their hair was brushed and often helping them to braid it, and maybe breaking up an argument or two from time to time. Or dealing with the sensitivities that dads often lack when talking with their little daughters, knowing that after you said something aimed at getting them ready in a short amount of time, you clearly blew it on the emotional side, and now you feel really bad. "Let's go to church now, girls, and act like a big, happy family and worship God." Or as it was last weekend, getting tired teenagers up and making sure that their bags were packed with everything they needed to catch an early afternoon flight back to Fort Lauderdale. In the race against time to stop at Starbucks so that the breakfast eaters in my family could get something to eat, and please don't order the venti double chocolatey frappuccino with white chocolate mocha and 3 pumps of peppermint, no whipped cream. Lord, let there be no line at Starbucks today. You know, preachers and worship leaders do themselves well when from time to time we remember that Sunday mornings doesn't always catch people at their best. Nor does it catch us always at our most worshipful moments. There's no magic wand that gets waved over our town or our homes on Sunday morning that somehow renders us ready for worship. The fact is, the road from your house to this house is not very long, yet there is a certain amount of baggage that we carry with us when we come to worship. Some of it we manage to leave in the car. Some of it we check at the door. But probably most of it we bring with us right here into the sanctuary. And that's the way that it is. And that's the way that it probably should be. Worship is a time to bring our true selves to God. All the baggage, even the dirty laundry, the questions and concerns that we have in life, the pain and struggles that we deal with, the joys and celebrations that give us the strength to move on. That's why we have prayer and worship, prayers of confession, prayers of the people, a prayer of dedication. All of it is time to lift our bags up to heaven, just like Martha did, and say, "Hear God, help me to deal with all of this that's going on." And I think for many of us, that's what worship is. A time to connect with God, a time to be strengthened by God, a time to hand our burdens over to God. It's not untypical when people come out of worship having been moved in some way that their comments are often prefaced by, I got a lot out of worship today. I got a lot out of the music. I got a lot out of your sermon. Maybe you'll say, I got a good nap. Or maybe I found some peace today. And nothing makes a worship leader more grateful than when somebody has found and claimed something significant in our worship that has touched a life. We do trust that it is a gift from God and not from those of us who lead in worship. But that's not why we do this. We don't gather to entertain. We don't gather to make sure that each one of us gets something out of worship. Rick Warren, the evangelical pastor of Saddleback Church, once famously said, "Worship is not about you. The music that is selected, the prayers that are said, the responses that we sing, they create an atmosphere so that those gathered here can worship God. It is for God's glory that we do this. The hymnal sitting in front of you even is called that, Glory to God." Now, with all that being said, the truth is that Sunday morning worship is a mixed bag, isn't it? We put on our Sunday best, or at least a nicer pair of jeans, but we may not necessarily bring to God our Sunday best. The story of the wise men might make us think that it's not supposed to be that way. You know the story. All we hear about the wise men is that they brought their best. They offered to the Christ child gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that's what they had in their baggage. The gospel writer lists these three gifts because they were precious in that time and likely had some hidden symbolism that's been lost to the ages. But the truth is, those weren't the only things in the wise men's bags. There were probably other gifts. And of course, all the other stuff that you have to bring with you when you're on a journey. They were on the road for about 3 years and had stuff that maybe you wouldn't be inclined to give to the newborn king. I'm sure all of you have traveled at times. Some of you may even be going someplace next week. And so you pack your bags and all the stuff that you're going to need for the journey. And then comes that wonderful time at the airport security when your bag, and of course it's your bag, gets tagged by the detector. And now there's a complete stranger rifling through all of your baggage. And if you're lucky, a handful of fellow travelers are looking to see what you've got also. And for the world to see, there's all your stuff, mundane stuff, secret stuff, personal stuff, shirts and sweaters and shoes. That's not so bad. But then there's the makeup and the prescriptions and your underwear and the nightgown, and it's all mixed together in that bag. Add to it all the questions and issues going on in the office and the emails that you need to send, the doctor's appointments that are coming up, and everything else that you have going on. We are a mixed bag. And every Sunday morning, we bring that right here. You see, that's the interesting thing about worship. Worship is not just something that you switch on come Sunday morning. It's not this feeling that you can manufacture when the clock strikes 10 o'clock. No, our worship is a result of what we've packed into our bags from week to week. And if what we've packed into our bags over the last week is primarily the burdens of work, then this will inform our worship. If it's concern for family, then this will inform our worship as well. If it's questions that have caused us to wonder God's plans, then this will inform our worship. And we bring all this here and we offer this all to God. And if what we have packed is a series of struggles, then this will show up in our worship. It will be a very struggling experience of worship. If what we have packed is anger or stress or anxiety, then these will creep into worship. Offerings to God in worship, the broken vessels that we are. And that is what God wants. God wants each one of us just as we are. But the wise men remind us of something else. Mixed bags that we are, there should be nevertheless some attention paid to what we pack. In the midst of all the stuff that we bring at the end of the day or the end of the hour, what we are here to do is to bring our worship to God. We are here to give praise and thanks for the majesty and the wonder and the goodness of God. In one part of our service, we actually call it the offering. Some call it a collection in other churches, but that's the wrong way to put it. The church is not a collector of dues and obligations. The church is a temple where offerings are made. Precious gifts given in response to all that God has done for us. And attention needs to be paid to what we place into that offering plate. But attention also needs to be paid to the hymns that we sing, because our singing is an offering to God. The prayers that we pray, because our prayers are an offering to God. The greetings that we give, because the greetings that we give to each other remind us of what God has done for us. The scripture that we listen to, because it's God's gift to us to help us to know who God is. The sermon that we hear, because it hopefully challenges us in our faith. All these are places of offering God the best gifts that we have. And it's significant, because it reveals our love for God. It's why the wise men packed before they started their journey gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First things into the bag, along with all the other stuff. An offering to the newborn king. Significant gifts that mean something. Love revealed through thoughtful choice. And then they went to worship. And so for the wise men, worship was far less about what they got out of visiting the manger, and far more about what they gave in going to the manger. Isn't that the story of salvation? It's not about what God got out of it. It's about what God gave to us. It's what the scripture verse on the window tells us: for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It was love revealed through thoughtful choice. Our window this morning is based on the 7 I Am verses in the book of John, pointing to the salvation that we have in Jesus, pointing to the one who saves us from our sins by giving himself. A bursting pomegranate for Jesus being the resurrection and the life. A door to signify that Jesus is the door to salvation. The good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. The light of the world giving us the light of life. The bread of life for anyone who comes to Jesus will never hunger or thirst. The vine from which we ourselves bear fruit if we remain in it. And the way and the truth and the life is symbolized by the eternal circle, which brings us into communion with God. The central theme is a copy from a famous Heinrich Hoffmann painting of Jesus, allowing the little children to come to him. What this painting is best known for is that it shows a myriad of all people in all ages and all races coming to Jesus for healing, the gift of God for all people. So it's good after a week to return to worship our God who brings to us healing. Our God who loved us so much that he would give us his Son. Our God who would invite us to this communion table to be in communion with God. The gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus' gift of his life for you is a constant reminder of the sacrifice that God has made for us. There is no afterthought in this. This is the God who thought to give the best, the most personal gift of all, a thought from the beginning of time, the purest of love. And so with all the stuff that we've already stuffed into our bag and have yet to stuff into our bag, we come and we receive God's best. We come to be filled by the one who gave his life for us. And I wonder what it would look like if next week we were to pay attention to what we pack before we come here. What might we offer our sacrificial king? Is there something significant that we would give for what God has done for us? Love unmistakable in its thoughtfulness.